Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the guest line right now and welcome in the 13th overall pick in the 2021 NFL Draft from two Thursdays ago. And that's Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, who's now a member of the Chargers and kind enough to join us right now on CBS Sports Radio. Rashawn, a belated congratulations. Thanks so much. How you been?
Thank you so much. Yeah, I've been great. It's been a fun 2 weeks just getting ready, and now yesterday I finally got down here in L.A., so I'm ready to go.
So you were in the green room two Thursday nights ago, and you ended up going 13th overall to L.A., and now you're a member of the Chargers. What was running through your head when you got that phone call in the green room in Cleveland?
It was just pure joy and relief, knowing that, you know, the whole pre-draft process was over and I finally knew where I was going, and all the work had paid off, and now I'm able to take that step finally. It was amazing.
When you look back at the pre-draft process, there's only so much you could control, and there's a lot of things that are said about you, positive and negative, and you never know where it's coming from. Had you kind of just deal with the emotions of leading up to the draft and all the buildup, especially when you didn't have football last year because you weren't playing at Northwestern?
Yeah, I think it really came down to just knowing that wherever I went, I'd be as prepared, you know, as possible. So I feel like, you know, not having that year, it really allowed me to just focus on getting my mind right for this next step. And so from that aspect of just being prepared, like, I felt really confident. And then I kind of just took the advice of everyone around me when it came to the draft and just tried to recognize that no matter where I went or what happened, I'd be in a blessed situation, and tried not to get too high or get too low and just kind of enjoy it all.
We knew you were going to go early. We knew you were going to be a first-round pick. When did it hit you, though, that, wow, I went 13th overall and I was the second offensive lineman taken off the board?
Honestly, I don't know. Like, I definitely enjoyed it. I don't know if it's really hit me yet, because I've just been so excited to, you know, get with the team and start learning plays and, like, start playing football. So I haven't really taken the time to reflect on that. But, you know, I went back to my high school the other day, and I got an opportunity to speak with the football team. And that moment of them kind of trying to put myself in their shoes and realize that, like, if I was in high school and I saw someone from my high school that just got drafted in the first round, like, it would have been pretty cool. And so that was, like, one of the first times I really started to take it in.
That had to be emotional, right? Because it wasn't that long ago that you were in high school.
Yeah, it was only a few years ago. And so stepping in the weight room is the same weight room that, you know, I got my foundation in. And but now I was, like, you know, the old guy coming back and, like, sprinkling wisdom or whatever. So it was fun.
Rashawn Slater here with us. When you talk to youngsters or kids in high school, what advice do you give them? What's the message that you try to relate to them?
The biggest thing is, you know, football is it has a lot of parallels with life. And so whether you're trying to pursue a career in football or whether you just want to, you know, pursue a career in general, the same stuff goes in. Like, it's all hard work. You got to be in love with what you do, or at least be able to focus on it and prioritize it number one. And so I try to just tell guys who love football, like, keep that love of football and try to be a student of the game and, you know, listen to your coaches and just do everything you can do to, you know, put the work in, and eventually it'll pay off.
Rashawn Slater, how did you fall in love with the game of football?
Yeah, for me, I fell in love with the game in high school. And my high school wasn't that – we didn't have a lot of success as a team. And so I realized I didn't just fall in love with the game for the winning, because when I actually fell in love with the game, we only won four games throughout my 4 years of high school. And so it kind of went down to just when I realized I wanted to pursue football in college, I kind of started to learn a lot more about my position on the O-line and the process of what goes into it. And I started to kind of just fall in love with the grind and being able to see, you know, the fruits of my, like, labor pay off. And really I just fell in love with the technique and being a lineman.
Now, your dad, he played college basketball and also professionally as well. How big of a resource was dad growing up?
Huge. Enormous. Like, growing up, you know, he'd always have these conversations about with us playing sports about what it means to be a pro. And so, like, I felt like just because, you know, by default, that's all I knew. And so everything I knew about sports is coming from his perspective. And so I feel like it really helped mold me into what I've become.
I love your story, and you're from Texas. You were a three-star recruit. You didn't have the big schools going after you. You go to Northwestern, and that program has been on the rise. When was that first moment that you thought to yourself, okay, not only am I good at this, but I could take this to even the next level and be an NFL pro one day?
Yeah, honestly, it kind of hit me after my sophomore year at Northwestern, because I came in as a true freshman. I was able to earn the right tackle spot. And, you know, I did well, but I didn't, you know, it wasn't in my mind yet that I could eventually be a pick. And after my sophomore season is when I started to go against a lot of guys who ended up playing in the NFL, just playing the Big Ten, you know, going against guys, and you end up seeing their name called, and you're like, oh, well, I blocked them, so maybe I could do that too. And really it was at that point. And then my O-line coach, I got a new O-line coach, Kurt Anderson, and he really kind of has experience with, you know, because he coached with the Bills and he had Frank Ragnow at Arkansas, and so he knows all about, like, NFL and NFL linemen and stuff like that. And so he kind of really made it real for me when he told me, like, I could do it. So right around that time.
When you have such a quick rise like that, as we're talking to Rashawn Slater, the 13th overall pick in the NFL draft, is there a moment that you realize life really changes for you and that it could go to a level that you probably never thought was possible?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every day is kind of a new realization of that. You know, I just feel so, you know, so lucky to be in this situation, and I'm just trying to enjoy it all and not take anything for granted.
Now, if I would have told you when you were in, not even high school, let's just say your freshman year at Northwestern, that one day you'd be going to the NFL and you'd be a first-round pick, be the 13th player off the board, would you have believed me, or you would have told me I was crazy?
No, I would have believed you. You know, I've always had that vision and, like, idea. I've always looked at myself, you know, as someone who could do it all or could, you know, could achieve that. But I just, my whole life was used to being an underdog. And so whether I believed it or not, you know, I had it in my head that no one else would believe it because I was under recruited in high school. You know, people didn't respect Northwestern. And so in my mind, it's like, okay, no one will ever respect me in that regard. I'll just have to earn it. But to finally see it happen and, like, other people being on the same page as me, it was pretty wild.
You know, there's a lot of chapters in life, and you're still writing many chapters as you're getting started on your NFL journey. But from the story of Rashawn Slater so far, what do you want people to take and know about your journey?
Yeah, just I've been consistent through it all. I started, you know, falling in love with the game early in high school, and since then, you know, it's been like the number one focus in my life. I've been working for a very long time, and I'm going to keep working even harder, but this is just consistent preparation has led me to where I am, and it's going to continue to carry me through my career.
Now, I was on the air right here on CBS Sports Radio on draft night when they called your name, and the first thing I noticed was your suit, and it was blue. Did you have a vision that you were going to the Chargers? Did you know that the Chargers were going to take you if you were there?
No, not even close. I had no idea. You know, blue's just always been my color. I like blue. My high school was blue, too, so it kind of represented my foundation. But, no, I had no clue. But that did end up being pretty cool. I never went to the Chargers.
Now, I'm not just saying this because you're on the show, but where do you get your fashion from? Because I remember saying it when they showed you in the green room that you had the best suit out of everyone that was in Cleveland at the draft.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I really took some inspiration from the guy that does custom suits. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
No problem. So when you're in that green room in Cleveland and you don't know how this thing is playing on out and how it's going to play out, and you see Penei Sewell goes to the Lions at 7, and that's the first offensive lineman on the board. How did you react to Sewell going to the Lions and Coach Dan Campbell?
Good for him is all I really thought. I knew that my journey was always about myself and not really about anyone else. And so, I was confident, going into it and coming out of the draft that wherever I went, I'd succeed. And so I wasn't really too worried about, that situation.
Do you think you're the best offensive lineman in this draft class?
Yes, I do.
So did any part of you were just annoyed? And I respect the answer and the humble answer, but was any part of you a little bit annoyed or disappointed that you weren't the first offensive lineman off the board?
Maybe a small part, yeah. But, again, I've had the mindset this whole time that whatever happens, I'll be ready. And I know who I am, and so I don't really rely on validation from anyone else. So, I kind of expected that it might happen. So it didn't surprise me or annoy me that much.
Your individual goals, and I know life changes real quickly, but for your rookie season, what are your individual goals when you get set to play for the Chargers?
Yeah, and understand that everything's earned and not given, and so my number one goal right now is to master the playbook and come to camp in great shape and earn that starting spot and, be an anchor on O-line that, allows Justin to do his thing and just be consistent. I feel like the best thing an O-lineman can do is be consistent, and as far as accolades, I'm always pursuing someone high, so I want to be an all-pro player.
Did he reach out to you first? Did you reach out to him, your quarterback, Justin Herbert? What was the first conversation like?
Oh, it was great. I wasn't even done, doing interviews and stuff on draft night. When I looked down at my phone for a quick second, I saw he had already reached out. He's awesome, really good dude. He's here in L.A. too, so we'll be together a lot these next couple months.
Take me through the energy. Chargers now in L.A., you have that unbelievable stadium. You got a young coach, Brandon Staley, a young quarterback who was just winning the Rookie of the Year, and now a young offensive lineman in yourself. Give me a little feels early on of the energy inside that building from what you could gather.
I feel like everyone in the building, we know we're in position to make, a really good run. And everything's coming into place, and we're, confidence is extremely high.
What have been your early thoughts on Coach Brandon Staley?
Unbelievable. Really good, talking to Frank Smith, my O-line coach, I really feel like this whole coaching staff really has a positive culture of, respect between the players and the coaches, and everyone's on the same page. Everyone just wants to get better every day, and so I feel like it's a really great situation.
Did you have a few favorite players growing up that were NFL players when you were a youngster?
Yeah, I've always followed O-linemen, so I got a few of my favorites, Tyron Smith, Trent Williams, Zach Martin, Jason Peters. There's so many guys that I've tried to. It's cool because not only are they my favorite players to watch, but being playing that position, I also get to base my technique and stuff off of them too. So it's really cool how I can just not only admire them but also learn from them.
Give me an interesting fact about yourself, Rashawn Slater, that most people don't know about.
An interesting fact about myself. I almost pursued a astronomy major at Northwestern.
Wow.
I am really interested in those, in space and stuff like that. But yeah, that's probably it.
So if you weren't an NFL player, you would have been an astronaut, is what you're telling me?
Maybe I'm an astronaut. I'm probably somewhere on the ground.
Last thing I'll ask you. So you're from Texas. Let's just say you don't have to worry about the diet. What's on the spread? What's on the table for the Texas BBQ that you'll have?
Oh man, probably number one is brisket. If you have barbecue, that's my favorite thing. I'm a big ribs guy too. I'll eat anything you put in front of me. That's kind of how I got to the position I am today, being a lineman. But it'd be hard to put something in front of me that I wouldn't like. But probably brisket and ribs are my one and two.
At your best, how much brisket, how many ribs do you think you could take down?
Oh, I don't know. Definitely easily a full rack, I feel like, of ribs. I don't know. It really depends how you caught me on that day. But I'm able to do some damage for sure.
I wouldn't doubt you on that. Well, hey, once again, congratulations. Good luck. Have a heck of a rookie season. Kick some butt, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Fun chat right there with Rashawn Slater. Appreciate him joining the Zach Gelb Show. I can't wait to watch the Chargers this year. You look at the AFC West, and I really believe in the hire, Brandon Staley. I like the hire. And I think what they're trying to replicate there, and he comes over from spending a year with Sean McVay, I think they're trying to find the defensive version of Sean McVay. But Brandon Staley also has an offensive background from his playing days too. So I think when you look at it, the Staley hire was someone that we probably didn't know much about last year, going into last season. But then very early on in the season, when we were watching the Rams play, we were talking about his story. We were like kind of looking at all the stones and not leaving any that were like overturned. We were trying to overturn every stone there when we were watching and really getting a better understanding. When you look back, he was a D3 school defensive coordinator a few years ago, outside linebackers coach with Denver and Chicago. And then right away, oh, you can't replace Wade Phillips. What is Sean McVay doing? He doesn't have a good pulse on the situation. Then boom, got the number one defense in the league. Now, can they be the second-best team in the AFC West this year? I think so. I think they're better than the Raiders. And as long as the Broncos don't get Aaron Rodgers, I think they're better than the Broncos, too. All right, 15 past the hour. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we've been talking so much about Aaron Rodgers. We got to circle back in on Deshaun Watson. Doesn't look like any settlement is coming anytime soon. And also, how about the league's investigation? We think we have some answers. We'll get to that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So let's get back to the latest with Deshaun Watson. We haven't talked about this for a while. You know, I did make mention of it, to be fair, actually, briefly, either yesterday or 2 days ago, because I was seeing some speculation. And that's all it was. And I remember saying it was just being speculated that since we haven't heard anything for a while, maybe they're getting close in settling and reaching a settlement with 21, 22 of the alleged victims and the claims that have been made against Deshaun Watson. And we haven't really heard much on the criminal front, if anything does develop on the criminal front as well, because right now this is a civil matter. Tony Busby did speak to a Fox station in Houston, and these were kind of the takeaways via ESPN. And Busby said that the NFL, or he feels that the NFL did not respect his clients in several meetings that they've had in the NFL investigation. Now, it was very ambiguous because you read that, oh, the NFL's not respecting the alleged victims here. And it's like confusing. Like, what are they not respecting about people that could have been victims here? And Busby didn't really offer a clear explanation. So I don't know what to make of that. I can't sit here and tell you, hey, the NFL's being disrespectful. I also can't tell you that they're being respectful. I don't know. But if you're going to make a claim like that, from everything I've read and heard, Tony Busby did not offer an explanation in how the NFL was being disrespectful. So that's number one. Number two, Tony Busby in that interview with Fox did say that 8 to 10 of his clients had actually met with the Houston Police Department, and he was actually pleased with how the PD department in Houston has worked with his clients. So the police department, according to Tony Busby, with the 8 to 10 clients of his that they've interacted with and they've talked with, at least they've been respectful. Now, in terms of settlement, Tony Busby said there are no plans to settle the case between Watson and the woman that are suing him. So Rusty Hardin, the attorney for Deshaun Watson, he did speak today. And he said, while we have never approached Mr. Busby about a settlement, he has approached us on numerous occasions in the past about the possibility of a settlement. We have made clear all along that there would be no settlement unless the terms are made public and all participants are allowed to speak in their own defense at all times. We want none of the participants, the plaintiffs, or Mr. Watson muzzled by a settlement agreement. Mr. Busby does not feel the same way. Now, I can understand if you're settling why you wouldn't want things to be public there. But then on the Watson side, if you are settling, it does come off as an admission of guilt to some extent. Now, you could argue that if there were settlement opportunities early in this process, why didn't he settle? And one, I think it was according to Hardin, like the first victim to speak out, she was offered a settlement package, I guess, if I remember that correctly, and they didn't take it. And then look how many more victims did come out, alleged victims did come out on the scene. So I do think that there's been settlement talks. Now, it's kind of a he said, she said here. The Busby camp, we're not settling. The Rusty Harden camp, oh, well, we didn't reach out in the settlement talks. They came to us to settle. So it's a game of just who do you believe here? And that's what it is when it comes down to the settlement. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I would try to settle. I would try to settle and have this go away. But if you really think you did nothing wrong, you want to make sure you're allowed to give your side of the story. It would not surprise me if we do reach a settlement eventually, but I will say, if we are going to reach a settlement here, why wasn't this settled earlier? If this could have avoided being public as the last resort, I think that Deshaun Watson should have avoided this from being public. Now, the criminal investigation, we don't really know where that's at other than they continue to talk to the people that are represented by Tony Busby. And it's about 8 to 10 women that they've talked about. Here's where I kind of take away from this so far. If we're just looking, if you want to make it into a sports point, and it's a lot bigger than sports, because if Deshaun Watson actually did what he did, he's a disgusting human being. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's false here. And when you have 22 people or 21 people accusing you of things, it doesn't look good. Now, if it was one or two people, could still be things that did happen. When you get to 22, though, when you get to an excess of 20 people, I don't think every single person is lying. I just don't. That's the way I look at it. Here's what I'm taking out of this, though, from a football standpoint. Because, right, from a football standpoint, if you're a football fan, you're wondering, maybe it's not the most moral thing to go about it, when will Deshaun Watson see the field next? And by what we're hearing today, how early in the week or last week, maybe there's a settlement that's going to be coming, and now it's a fight of, oh, well, we're not settling, and then Rusty Harden saying, well, we didn't come to him to settle. He came to us to settle. It shows you that they're nowhere close. Now, silence on this for a while seemed to be interesting because maybe they were coming close to a settlement. Clearly, they're not close to a settlement. So that tells me that this thing is nowhere close to getting resolved. My question becomes, what else comes out of this? We know what's going on civilly. What happens in a criminal matter, if anything at all? Now, I keep on throwing out these three situations when it comes to Watson this season. Number one, he'll either be placed on the exempt list or he'll be suspended. That's one. Number two, he will be playing for the Texans this upcoming fall. Or number three, he'll be playing elsewhere. If I had to guess, I think the most likeliest of outcomes is that come week one of the fall, unless this gets resolved beforehand, Deshaun Watson will either be suspended or he'll be on the commissioner's exempt list. Now, if he's on the exempt list, that means we have not really solved much here. If he's suspended, that means, depending on what the suspension is, but let's just say it's like a 4 or 6 game suspension. That means either a settlement happened or we got some answer out of this and the NFL did an investigation. But remember how slowly the NFL moves in investigations. I can't tell you what the timeline is going to be for the NFL here. I can't. The NFL, they move at the beat of their own drum. So I do believe that the most likeliest of outcome here, come week one when the Texans are on the field, is Deshaun Watson is either suspended or he's on the exempt list. Then the question becomes, when do we have an answer on if he's going to be able to play or not? And let's say we get that answer, I don't know, in August. Let's say August 1, we find out Deshaun Watson suspended for this amount of games. Then the question becomes, will a team trade for him? And I think a team would trade for him if we have some clarity on what's going on, if it's still ambiguous and vague and we don't know. But if you're getting suspended, it seems as if then something happened, whether it was civilly, criminally, or settlement, whatever it may be. So if you have a suspension,
that means you at least know when he's going to be able to be on the field again. And if you're a team that needs a quarterback, and say what you want to Deshaun Watson as a person, and we thought we knew a lot, and maybe we didn't know as much as we thought, Deshaun Watson's still a heck of a quarterback. When healthy, he's a top five, top six, top seven quarterback in this league, wherever your preference may be on that. If he gets suspended 5 games in August, they tell him, all right, you're going to be out the first 5 regular season games. A team will trade for him. And he doesn't want to go back to the Texans. Now, what the value will be won't be as high as before all this stuff came out, but there will still be value for Deshaun Watson. I still sit here, and if I had to rank it 1, 2, 3, because I think this is going to move slowly, so I'll make a definitive statement. I'll say 1, I'll throw out the suspension. I think he'll be on the exempt list come week 1. 2, I would then say the next likeliest thing, which is surprising, that he'll take a snap for the Texans, and 3, he'll be traded elsewhere. But then yet again, if I could then flip-flop on this real quickly, if he is allowed to play, when will he be give that clearance to play? Because if it comes with like a day or two before the season, do you get a deal done that quickly? The timing here is very important. And with these investigations, especially with the NFL, when the NFL gets involved, just from looking at experiences in the past and seeing how these things go down, they move very slowly. So what I'm basically getting at here is we haven't really found out anything new in this case. You know, we were getting more information weeks ago. But at this point, you're kind of at a stalemate and you're seeing what dominoes are going to fall next. And right now, it doesn't seem as if we're asking questions, it doesn't seem as if we're getting any final answers here. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's go to South Carolina. Jake is next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, what's up, Zach? Thank you for having me on, man.
No problem. What do you got for me today, pal?
So just on the Deshaun thing, you know, I'm a Clemson fan, live around the Clemson area, so mm-hmm. I've always been a huge Deshaun guy. But more than anything, you know, with the settlement, you know, people talk about why wouldn't he have just done that, you know, to kind of make it all go away. You know, it eventually, and it would have came out, and his, you know, reputation would be tarnished. So I believe more than anything, it's about Deshaun clearing his name, you know, as far as I think deep down he knows, and hopefully they can prove. And I should go back at the start of all this. If he is guilty, that's on Deshaun. That's, you know, my view of him completely changes, but, you know, I think he believes that he didn't do anything that was considered a sexual assault. So I think the big thing for him is to clear his name. That's the biggest thing that he's worried about.
Yeah, and there's allegations. The bizarre part to me, and this is what I was saying here, without knowing what all that did go down, but he's not denying that he got these massages. He's just denying on what is being accused of what happened during the massages. When you're a professional athlete and your body is what makes you all this money, and especially when we're in the middle of a pandemic, like forget the pandemic for just a second. What athlete, not with how many massages he was getting, but by how many different people were massaging him? That's the part that never made sense to me. That is, now it does not mean that he was a predator here necessarily. And maybe he is, maybe he's not, I don't know. But to have 20 different women massaging you, wouldn't you, if your body is what makes you your money, you find one or two people? And if you don't like someone, then you go to the next one, and you eventually find someone. And you have all the resources in the world. That's what's bizarre to me. That's what makes me raise an eyebrow here. And, yeah, you don't like to take a side, but that's what makes me not believe Deshaun Watson this mess. Now, I don't know if everything is true. There's probably some lies and probably some truths here. Now, it's probably a little bit of both. But why are you getting that many massages? And not how many massages you're getting, but how many different people? And if he could have settled before this became public, then he should have. And then it could have been kept private. But now, since it's out there, and without knowing what's true or not, he needs to try to find a way to control the narrative. And by doing that, it's clear in the statement from Rusty Hardin, you know, we haven't talked to them. They've talked to us about settlement. And we're not willing to settle unless if we could speak about X, Y, and Z, because that's going to be to try to rebuild the image of Deshaun Watson. Because we once thought Deshaun Watson, right? the definition of a franchise quarterback on and off the field. And the last 2-3 months, that perception did change. So basically, to just recap this very quickly, we don't really have much new information here. And when it comes to him playing on the field come week one, you know, he's still got, obviously, May, June, July, August. It's either going to be a suspension. You don't need to be guilty. You don't, you know, to necessarily be suspended by the NFL. But the odds of him playing come week one, I would not think are good. Whether that's because he's on the exempt list, or he's suspended, or we just haven't had any new information in this. And when the text, when it's mandatory for him to show up, that's another big thing. You don't want to play for the team, too. But when it's mandatory for him to show up, because like right now he doesn't have to be in the building. But when he has to be in the building, that's when the NFL may have to place him on the exempt list until we find out more. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come on back when we do return on the Zach Gelb Show. Closing bell, whose stock is booming? Whose stock is dooming?
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Final segment. You know how we do it at the end. Whose stock's booming? Whose stock's dooming? Closing bell time. Hit it.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Chris Long does this thing all the time. When people are complaining that are athletes, he will change his Twitter name and make it seem as if they are the company that he's complaining to. So he changed his name today to some airline when Mark Ingram did tweet out, oh, it was United. He said, hey, United, y'all just gonna not put my checked luggage on the plane? I have appearances and events, and now I have no clothes. SMH, I tried y'all out, and I'm gonna try to avoid it from here on out. So Chris Long then changed his Twitter page to United and said, you're rich. Buy clothes. Love the humor of one Chris Long. Give him a stock up. James Harden made his triumphant return last night. Did not start. Played 26 minutes. And in a win up against the Spurs, had 18 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists. Welcome back, the beard, James Harden. Stock up. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. And how about the Hawks? As Trace is just having some disastrous dance moves right now. Oy, oy, oy. You like the go New York, go chant?
Oh, love it. Love it.
Do you like when you chanted, go Pats, go! Go Pats, go!
I liked it for the reason I was chanting it. If it comes to fruition, I'll like it even more. I'll do it again for you.
Well, I did have someone you clip it, and I wonder when we're going to use that eventually down the road. But anywho, Tom Thibodeau makes the playoffs with the Knicks. Nate McMillan makes the playoffs with the Hawks officially. Give both those coaches a stock up. Now, really, the coach of the year, it's been Tom Thibodeau, Quinn Snyder, and Monty Williams. Nate McMillan, I know he took over. He needs to be in that conversation, too. I think it will come down to Monty Williams or Tom Thibodeau, and I do believe that the Suns coach will win it. Taiwan Walker yesterday up against the Orioles. 7 innings. 4 hits, 1 run, Mets 7 in a row. Give a stock up to Taiwan Walker. You see Alex Rodriguez? I know it's been a rough week for him. Affleck back with his former fiance and J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, and then that deal looked like it was falling through. He's going to be the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, or a board of governor. Now Anthony Edwards, find out who he is. Give a stock up to Alex Rodriguez. All right, let's get to Jack Flaherty. 7-0 to start out this season. Tonight up against the Brew Crew. 6 innings pitch, 4 hits, no earned runs, 6 strikeouts. Give Jack Flaherty, baseball's first 7-game winner this year, a stock up. Did you see this video? I think it was in Texas, of the tiger that was on the loose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I have so many questions. And maybe this is a geographic issue.
Can you imagine someone in the Northeast owning a tiger, a pet tiger?
No. I hope not.
Do you think that's a common occurrence? No, it's not common, but do you think?
I think it's more than you would think, yes.
Really?
I think Tiger King kind of shows.
Carol Baskin?
That's it. There's more Florida, tiger owners than you would think.
Now, Joe Exotic, he didn't get a presidential pardon, right?
No.
Trump's last day, he's going to give him a presidential pardon.
Unless I missed it. I think Joe Exotic is still.
In the slammer.
Yeah. Behind bars.
I don't know what would possess anyone to own a tiger. I just don't get it. I really don't. And not only that, if you're going to own a tiger, don't you got to make sure that the tiger doesn't get on the loose? So for people who have no clue what I'm talking about, in Texas, I don't know exactly where in Texas, someone owns a tiger, and the tiger was on the loose and just walking around as if I would walk around to my midnight stroll in the neighborhood. This tiger's just walking around. Now, a sheriff did get onto the scene, and I guess this sheriff was pointing his gun at the tiger. I thought the tiger was definitely getting shot. The tiger did not get shot. As it got closer and closer and closer to the sheriff, it's amazing how the sheriff did not kill the tiger. And the tiger just walks over and starts licking the water. Did you see the end result here? Because the video just cuts out. Do we know what happened here? Tiger didn't die, right?
Oh, there's you don't know. This? Yeah.
Wait, now hold on. I think I read something. Didn't the owner eventually find the tiger? I actually think I did read this, and it was defending the tiger.
Well,
I did see a picture of someone with his hand over the tiger's head, as if they were BFFs.
From what I have heard, the lawn where the officer was standing on was the owner of the tiger's lawn. The guy in one video.
Wait. So that tiger was just walking around in the front lawn like a dog?
Well, he must
have
got out. But, like, yeah. The house was the owner's house.
Why don't you put a shock collar on a tiger? I don't know if that's very effective or not, but you would think.
You would think you would take a lot of precautions, yes. Basically, to make sure that doesn't happen. But apparently, so the guy's walking outside, and the sheriff's screaming, "Get inside the house." The guy goes, "It's my tiger. Get inside the house." Well, apparently, once the tiger, I guess, somehow, whatever, the guy came out and was able to get his own tiger back, puts him in the back of a car. This guy is now a wanted felon for murder. They find out later on.
Wait, what?
And he is on the loose.
Okay, I didn't see that part.
Yeah, how crazy is that? Tommy was telling me that, D-Ben.
So this guy, from what you're telling me, owns a tiger and is wanted for murder.
Doesn't sound that crazy, right?
That explains a lot, because if you remember in Tiger King, Carol Baskin may or may not have killed her old husband. May or may not, just from a legality standpoint. Personally, I think she did. Okay. Everything about that story does not seem normal to me. Now, you were surprised that the tiger did not get shot, right?
Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
If I see a rat, I'm freaking out. If I saw a tiger, I don't even know what I would be able to do with myself. I would be like, be freaking out. Now, did they ever find the guy, or is he still on the loose?
Okay, so I'm reading an updated story. Looks like they did find him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in jail, and he put up bail. He's wanted in connection to a murder from 2017. Oh. So maybe not the direct murderer, but he was able to post bail.
The body was fed to the tiger, maybe? I don't know.
No, he's out right now. But
No.
So I
the body of the person that was maybe killed, fed to the tiger.
May, you
Who
know?
Owns a tiger?
It's a great question.
And just lets the tiger get out of the house.
What are you like? And you saw the neighborhood. It's a normal neighborhood. Where the hell are you putting?
It's not a normal neighborhood. I'm sorry. There's someone on that neighborhood block that owns a tiger. That's not a normal neighborhood.
Where's a tiger being kept? Like, what is the backyard like where this thing is just like
roaming around?
Jeez.
Let me go for a stroll around the neighborhood. Stock down to whoever owns that tiger. Boston Celtics. They lost last night to the Cavs. They're a 500 basketball team. The Boston Celtics stink. They were supposed to be a top three team this year in the Eastern Conference. Will they even get in the play-in? You know, they will be in the play-in, but will they win and be a 7th or an 8th seed? I don't know. Even if they do, they're not going to be around for long in the postseason. especially with Jaylen Brown now out for the year. Stock down to Brad Stevens, Boston Celtics. And that's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where I do not own a tiger and never will own a tiger. And it's really weird if you own a tiger and just let the tiger walk around and then you're wanted in connection with the murder. Okay. What a way to end a Thursday show. Thanks to Rashawn Slater. Thanks to Trace. Thanks to all of you for calling, listening, and tweeting. We'll be back manana on a Friday. Be safe. Be well. Talk to you then.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.